Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your hosts, Jim Person and Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast. It's episode number 7, and I'm Jim Person.
And I'm Bob DeMarco from thenifejunkie.com. Welcome.
Welcome to you too, Bob.
Well, thank you, Jim.
You're more than welcome. Keep playing on our welcome there. It's going great. I'm excited about this episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast because we are entering the holiday gift giving season. And I think we've got a pretty cool show for folks, Bob. You're going to have a knife giving guide, which I'm looking forward to.
We sure do. It's going to be like a giving guide for spouses and significant others, people who know that their significant other, their better half, loves knives. And you want to show them that you support whatever their interests are, and that you did a little bit of research, and here's a knife that you don't just find when you walk into Walmart.
So maybe you're coming up with some gift-giving guidance for folks in your family as well, perhaps?
Jim, I'm trying to let my daughters and my wife know what they are allowed to get me and what they should get me. I'm breaking it down into 4 categories. And it's kind of like, how much do you really love this person?
I'm sure they love you a lot. We'll get into that. But we also have a couple of cool segments. As our listeners know, we have 2 segments on each show. This week, we've got a tip of the week, which is about making your own Kydex sheaths.
That's right.
And then in our second segment, we're going to talk our first segment that we've done on knife laws.
Well, it's just some things that I wasn't expecting. And, living in Virginia, it's something I thought I should know, right? So, you might know we're not lawyers, so we're not giving any legal advice. All we're going to be doing with the knife law segment is reading the law and just letting its ridiculosity speak for itself.
Reading the law and reacting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, those 2 segments, as well as our knife giving guide, are coming up on the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Hey, Jim, what are you carrying in your pocket today?
Well, as you know from our last show, I've got my Buck Canoe knife. You made me pick out from the, I think it was 6 knives you kind of went over in the last episode. And I've been carrying it for a week now and really kind of like it. I love the look of it as well. It's a really nice looking knife.
It is a beautiful knife. Have you noticed a difference in weight or a difference in how it carries in your pocket from your Swiss Army Knife Tinker?
No, it's about the same weight, which when I picked it out and was kind of looking at it, I was thinking, well, it's maybe going to be heavier or something like that. But really, I haven't noticed any difference in weight. Again, it's a nice looking knife. It's a good variety for me to take a look at whenever it's in my pocket and I pull it out. And I've actually used it a couple of times this week.
Nice. What have you used it for?
Yeah. Well, wife getting packages from Amazon, that kind of thing. So
nice.
She's like,
gifts
can you
for you for Christmas? Yeah.
No, but, good thought. But she's like, hey, do we have a pair of scissors? I can open this box. And I'm like, no, wait, I've got my Buck Canoe. Let me open that for you. So opened a couple of packages. But yeah, I'm liking it so far.
Very nice, Jim. So did you get a rush of good feelings and when someone actually needed a knife and you could step in with it?
I'm Johnny on the spot.
Johnny on the spot. Well, someday in the future, I'm going to put together a compendium of great movie scenes where not just knife scenes in movies, but great scenes in movies where the day was saved by a small knife, by a pocket knife. Mm. They're surprisingly common. And every time it happens, I'm like, see to my wife, if we're watching a movie together, see, a small knife saves the day.
Hey, you asked me about my knife. What's in your pocket this week?
Today I got my Riat Horizon B from when Riat first came out. Jim Skelton, famous YouTuber, recommended them and they were inexpensive at the time, relatively $200. And he said, this is the closest you're going to get to a custom at that time. Riat was new and the new high-end Chinese manufacturers were just coming onto the scene. And I got it for $200. Now you can't even get it. But if you, it's smaller cousins that they're now selling are close to $400. So I feel like I made a good move buying this when I got it.
Yeah. Good investment.
Yeah. Solid, amazing knife. And then in my front left pocket for actual cutting that I do is the Case Swayback Jack. And this one is has the Warncliffe and the pen blade. And it's also got this beautiful chestnut bone covers, kind of similar to the buck you're carrying around.
Looks similar but different.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit redder. Beautiful.
Which is the theme you go with all the time, similar but different.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this one is these 1095 or I should say CV steel blades are working up a nice patina. So yeah, that's what I got.
Right.
And as always, the pink broken skull.
Absolutely, from Cold Steel.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you are interested in any of those knives, and I'll be interested to see if any of those knives make Bob's knife giving guide. But we've got a great main show topic coming up for you, knife giving guide, and that's going to be following our tip of the week segment coming up.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast, and now it's time for this week's tip of the week.
It is easy and relatively inexpensive to make your own Kydex sheaths at home for most any knife, fixed or folding. I started making my own Kydex sheaths when I first considered carrying an EDC fixed blade, but was unhappy with the lame sheaths that were coming with the cheaper knives I was trying out. To me, positive retention is of absolute importance when it comes to fixed blade EDC carry. People are squirrely about knives as it is, and the last thing I need is a pokey slashy dropping to my feet in public. As I carry in the waistband, it is also important that the point of whatever blade I am carrying does not pierce the sheath itself, and hence me. The stiffness of Kydex and other thermomold plastics prevent this. So all you have to do to make your own Kydex sheath, and by extension, holsters, wallets, etc., is make a Kydex press, buy the materials, and have an oven, a drill, and a hammer. You will need Kydex, which is sold in sheets, quarter-inch eyelets and an eyelet press, and two 12-inch by 12-inch molding foam sheets for your press. These specialty items can be easily found on the numerous knife maker supply sites online. To build your press, you'll need two pieces of plywood, roughly 18 inches by 12 inches, a 12-inch piece of 2x4, and two hinges and two clamps. To make the press, glue and screw the 12-inch 2x4 along the 12-inch side of a piece of plywood. Then attach the second piece of plywood to the 2x4 with the two hinges. Now it opens and closes like a book. With wood glue, fix the two pieces of foam on the opposing insides of the press so that when the press is closed, the foam sheets come together. With two strong clamps, you're ready to go. To make the sheath, wrap the knife blade in a layer of blue painter's tape and place it on your sheet of Kydex. Score an oversized footprint around the knife with a mat knife, leaving plenty of slop you can trim off later. Fold along the score and the Kydex will break to shape. Put the Kydex in an oven or toaster oven. I've had good luck at 375 degrees. Keep an eye on it, and after 4 or 5 minutes, it will be floppy and malleable. Take the Kydex from the oven and wrap it evenly around the spine of the blade if you're making a single eyelet row taco sheath, or place one piece evenly below and on top of the knife like a sandwich for a double eyelet row sheath. Close the press with the hot Kydex and knife and clamp it shut. Wait about 25 minutes for it to cool down. Now you have a sloppy-looking but form-fitting proto-sheath.
Drill quarter-inch holes in the Kydex
closely adjacent to the relief contours of the blade. Place them 1.5 inches apart to fit many common sheath attachments like tech locks. With holes drilled, cut the sheath to final shape and hammer the eyelets with the eyelet press. With the sheath now complete, use sandpaper to clean up and smooth out the edges. Blast out the inside with compressed air to ensure it is free of blade-scratching debris. Take the tape off the knife blade and slide it in the sheath. And now dig that satisfying sound as the knife locks into place. What? You didn't hear that sound? Trial and error have taught me that a heat gun is a great tool for tweaking Kydex sheaths during initial production and for reforming the sheath if it ever loosens up. Making Kydex sheaths is a relatively quick and easy craft to learn, and like any craft, you can become great at it with practice. I have made a few great Kydex sheaths. Chief among them is the one I made for my Topps Prather Bowie. If I could make each one like that, I would go professional. So get yourself a few cheap but popular fixed blade models and practice making sheaths on them. And then, who knows, maybe with a little practice, you will have found yourself a new knife-related side hustle.
Great info on this week's Tip of the Week. And now back to the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Hey, you know, Bob, that sounds pretty interesting, very detailed, but I've got to ask, how long does it take to make a typical, you know, air quote, typical Kydex sheath?
To make the sheath itself, I would say it takes an hour or so, soup to nuts. The longest time you'll spend is the cooling. I like to let it cool down for 25 minutes. Sometimes I let it go even longer because on occasion I've gotten antsy, pulled it too quickly, and you know, kind of lost the form-fitting nature of the sheath. It's just sort of relaxed
right,
because it wasn't totally cool. But making the press is quick. I remember I made that press during the series premiere of the show Vikings, which is an awesome show on History Channel. It was like 2 hours long, and I was making it and watching the show and had it done by the end of the show pretty much. So I was pretty maybe too detailed in how I described it, but it was pretty easy to make. Someone who's way handy can do it.
Right. Well, you know, this is a podcast, you know, radio, the theater of the mind. So we do have to fully explain things so our listeners can see it. So good job there. And maybe, as you said, if somebody's making their own Kydex sheaths and they're really an expert, we can get them on the Knife Junkie podcast and talk to them about their process.
Sure. I've bought a few from professional makers, and there are definitely a step above my personal Kydex sheaths. Right. So yeah, there are pros out there for sure.
Yeah. Well, if you're a pro or you know one, give our listener line a call at 724-466-4487. That's the Knife Junkie listener line at 724-466-4487. And let us know, and we'll grab a quick interview with you for the Knife Junkie podcast. But Bob, without any further ado, I got to get going on this knife giving guide. I'm really excited about this. And you've broken it down four stages, kind of four categories, if you will, of the knife giving guide. So why don't you give me an overview of kind of what we're talking about, and then we'll go kind of deep dive into each category.
Well, the categories are scalable. I mentioned in the beginning, it kind of depends on how much you love the person. Well, I kind of misspoke there, Jim. These are knives that you can show your undying eternal love with at any budget. So the first level is called the no strings attached. That's the no strings attached category. It's $40 and under. These are five great knives that I can personally vouch for $40 or under. And that's the whole thing about this, is these are knives that I can personally vouch for. A lot of great knives have come out over the past year that I haven't gotten. I've only seen videos on, so I wouldn't feel, I wouldn't feel good about recommending those knives hand unfelt, if you will.
Right, right. So, I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's a good point, and I'll mention it for the gift giving guide, as well as some of the links on our website and in the podcast and on videos that you talk about and we talk about are what's called affiliate links, which means that if people make a purchase from those links, the Knife Junkie gets a small commission. Doesn't increase the price, but there is a small commission. So I want to make sure that our listeners know that we are only going to be recommending knives that you recommend, only talking about knives or recommending the purchase of knives that you actually recommend. So
no, I get you. But by this time next year, Jim, I expect our resources to be such that I will have a lot more knives to recommend, because over this next year, I plan on, well, I don't want to say necessarily buying, but buying and selling off a lot more knives than I did this year.
All right. Well, stay tuned for that. Future episodes of the Knife Junkie podcast. But let's get back to the knife giving guide.
Roger that. So first category, no strings attached, $40 and under. First knife is the Kershaw Atmos, a beautiful knife that I got for $30. It's a Dmitry Sinkovich, who's a Belarusian designer whose work I just think is incredibly beautiful. And if you want a Dmitry Sinkovich, you're going to be paying Dmitry Sinkovich money, which is like $1,200, or you could get a Kershaw Atmos for $30. Now, the intermediate is a ZT. He has a couple of ZT knives also in the $240 range, which we'll talk about later. But this Kershaw Atmos is for $30, you're getting a G10 handle that has amazing milling on it. You're getting a carbon fiber overlay. You're getting amazing ball bearing pivot action. And you're getting 8CR13 MOV steel, which a lot of people crap on. It's a budget Chinese steel. But you know, unless you're a super hard user, which you probably aren't, it's a totally adequate steel for $30. Kershaw Atmos I gave to my wife because I would like to get the new ZT0470, which is an upscale version of it. Great knife. Gonna get one, Jim?
Well, that's only your first one. We've got a bunch more to go. So,
all right. Well, you know what? Here, I'll keep it quick. Steel wheel cut jack in D2 steel and plastic handle. I think they call it Grivery. That is an amazing knife. It was sitting in my bin on Amazon in my cart for over a year. And when I saw it was $21, I had to buy it. I bought it, and it hasn't left my desk. It's an amazing knife. It's thin and slicey. The D2 steel is, it's good for my uses. I've used this thing to cut Kydex. It's great, and you just touch it up on the strop, and it's good to go. It's got great flipping action. It's kind of ugly, I think, but it feels great in the hand. ugly is totally subjective, right? And then in that same 32 range, you have another D2 knife with the same 3-inch size blade in the Ontario Rat 2 in D2. Some people call it the R2-D2. And the Rat 2 model is an amazing utility knife. And it comes in a variety of colors and blade finishes. And it's just, you look at it, it looks like generic knife. I'm not crazy about the aesthetics, but you put it in your hand and it feels amazing. And it will take on, you know, it's very versatile. It's a very versatile knife. You'll take on anything you give it. That's the Rat 2. And then you have the Buck 110, which is an icon, and you can buy it for about $40. And it comes with a leather sheath. It is a very, very heavy knife, but it's a classic knife and it's beautiful. It feels great in the hand. And if you can deal with a leather pouch on your belt, it's a great carry. And then my final and probably my favorite that I got this year was the, in this no strings attached category for $40 and under, was the Tangram Santa Fe, which is a Kaiser made knife. Tangram is the super budget line from Kaiser, and which is a high end Chinese manufacturer. And this Tangram Santa Fe, you can only buy on Amazon, the Tangram knives, you can only buy on Amazon. I got this for $30 and it is amazing. It is an amazing knife. It's got the smoothest action of almost any of my knives, and it's on phosphor bronze washers, I believe. And it's G10, and it's got this Akudo Japanese steel, which is analogous to 440C. And it's got a beautiful, super useful Warncliffe blade. So if I had to recommend one of those over all of the others, it would be the Tangram Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You buy that for your spouse or your better half, and they'll be like, oh, you put a little effort into this. You kind of thought about this and did some research and got me this fantastic knife.
Yeah, thought about it, but it also is a good, useful, solid knife in that price category.
Absolutely. And it's got this super acute, pointy point. And it really is great for piercing packaging. And, you know, this is another one I might recommend the next time you start looking, Jim, for a knife.
Okay.
I might show you to the Tangram Santa Fe.
Okay, cool. So all of those five knives, as well as your personal favorite, the Tangram Santa Fe, that's in the no strings attached category. That's the $40 and under category. Next up, Bob's calling it the going steady category. And then we're talking about $40 to $120. So
that's right. Yeah. That's right.
What have you got for us there for the little more serious commitment here?
Well, in the going steady, I'm starting it with the Real Steel Metamorph, which I've been talking about a lot in the last couple of weeks. It's been out for maybe a year and a half by this point, but it's only come into my hands recently, and I absolutely love it. It's got a beautiful, beautiful finish on the aluminum handles. It's got an incredible blade, very thin, acute tip, very, very slicey, and it's got a front flipper, which takes a minute to get used to, but once you do, it's super slick. This knife for me, I know I keep mentioning it, is I consider direct competition to the Benchmade 940, only because I don't know. To me, aesthetically and feel wise, it fits in the same category. Though this is about half the price, and I just like it better. So that's a good one. $60, the Real Steel Metamorph. One that I talk about all the time, the Cold Steel Broken Skull for $70. You have to get it. There's only one downside to it, and that's the name. It's called Broken Skull, and it's written in giant billboarding on one side of the black blade. But once you get past that, which took me about a minute, it's an incredible, incredible knife. It's super slim. That's why I carry it all the time in my waistband. Super slim. And it's got a 4-inch CTX XHP steel blade, which is a fantastic blade steel, especially for the $70 you're paying for this knife. So with this knife, there's never an excuse not to have 4 inches of super steel on your person at all times, Jim. So I highly recommend the Cold Steel Broken Skull. Plus, it comes in a light gray, a pink, a blue, an OD green, and like a desert tan color. So you can pick the coloration that suits your lifestyle best.
You can accessorize to match your outfit.
That's right.
That's right.
A knife is to be worn, not carried.
Right. I'll be interested to see which one of this category is your favorite, since our listeners know you always carry this pink Cold Steel Broken Skull. So I'll let you continue with the other three knives, and then we'll figure out which one is your favorite.
Okay. All right. Hope it's not a surprise. Next is the Benchmade Bug Out. It's $115, and it is one light and fun and extremely useful knife. It was marketed originally as a super lightweight knife for backpacking, The name bug out implies that it's for once everything falls apart and you're bugging out of your home for good and you're carrying one knife. It's probably not that knife, but it is super light and the action is amazing. Mine came totally centered and it's like 2 ounces or 1.8 ounces, something like that. And it's just a great little knife. Comes in this cheerful blue color, and now it comes out in a more tactical black and tan version, or black and OD green. Highly recommend it. $115. You'll never feel it in your pocket. And incidentally, Jim, there are a couple of Benchmades on this list, and I used to not like Benchmade, but the past couple of years, they've come out with a few things that have really turned me on. So
okay. Well, maybe in an upcoming episode, we can focus primarily on Benchmade. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. The fourth one is one that I offered to you last week, which is the Boker Lateralis. It's this heavier, it's the one that you didn't like because it was heavy, but it's this beautiful Art Deco looking flipper that's produced by Boker, but it's a design by J.B. Stout, who's a custom knife maker from Tennessee, who, if you want a J.B. Stout knife, you better be ready to lay down $1,500 or so. This Boker gave everyone the opportunity to own one of these knives through this production version. And their knives are, the quality is catch as catch can with Boker, but with some of their higher end design collaborations with high end knife makers, they really knock it out of the park. And this one is incredible. It's relatively light because they milled out so much of the internals of the side steel slabs that it almost feels like a titanium flipper, and it has incredible, incredible action. False shutty blade, and is just incredibly good looking. I mean, pull this out and people know you're serious, Jim. So this final one is for someone who likes something a little big and ridiculous, someone who likes something that's a little bit outrageous, and it's the Cold Steel Frenzy. I love this knife. It's a 5.5-inch blade. It is a long, wait, let me measure it because now I'm forgetting. Yeah, this is a 5.5-inch blade and it's talon shaped. So it's got this downward sloping edge, more like a talon than a regular shaped knife. And it's very slender, as you can see. And it's got the triad lock, which is super strong. And so if your significant other ever really needs a large knife, this one will definitely fit the bill, but it's more just to have and have fun with and to show off, in my estimation.
Right. Okay.
A little ridiculous.
Yeah, a little ridiculous, but hey, you never know. So you didn't tell me which one was the favorite, but do I dare guess which one it is? Thinking that.
Well, let me see if you can guess.
Well, I know you carry in your pocket every day the pink Cold Steel Broken Skull, so I'm going to have to say that's your favorite in this category.
That is my favorite, Jim. That is my favorite.
Oh,
however,
yay!
I'm not.
I win.
You win. You win. I'm going to give you mine. Just kidding. No way. Just kidding. What I would do is actually say that that is my favorite. But if I had to recommend one, I think I might go with the Benchmade Bug Out.
Oh, okay.
Because it's smaller, less murdery looking. It's lighter. And frankly, if the person already has it, and you don't know if your spouse already has this or your boyfriend already has this knife, he can resell it and get most of his money back for it,
right?
Because they're, you know, it's the kind of knife that's in demand,
right? But is it also a knife that you probably wouldn't be hurt if you had a couple of three of those versions of knives? Maybe keep one in the car, one in your pocket, and one, like you said, in your backpack, just to grab and go.
Yeah, it's kind of an expensive knife for that. It's $115. So personally, in my grab and go bags, I have, you know, $60 Cold Steels or $40 Ontarios. I'm not putting Benchmades, just stashing them around. I don't roll like that, Jim. I'm not a big man like that.
Oh, I got you. I hear you. All right. Well, you know, if it's on your list, maybe somebody will get it for you. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep moving. Skin in the game category.
Skin in the game, Jim. Once you buy this knife, it's serious. And man, you know, you're going to be with this person for a while if they get you one of these knives. At least you should be, because they're pretty damn awesome.
Now, talk about the price category. I mean, the price range.
All right. So this is $120 to $240, roughly. Everything here is roughly. I check prices on Blade HQ, Knife Center, and Amazon pretty much for these, because that's where I buy most of my knives. So, skin in the game, 120 to 240. The first is the Spyderco Spidey Chef, which is a really incredibly beautiful knife. To me, this knife has really won my heart. I got it when it first came out, kind of sensing the hype about it and thinking that it might be discontinued and that I might be sitting on something that's worth something in a few years that I could sell off and buy something else for, because I generally like knives a little bit bigger than this. But the Spidey Chef has turned into an incredible knife, and it's real. It's $215, and its real selling point is its very broad, thin, slicey LC200N blade. And LC200N is a stainless steel that has been proven by Cedric and Ada and other folks to be just about the most rust-proof, corrosion-proof blade out there. People who work near saltwater will benefit from this. It's a knife that's completely rust-proof because it's got titanium handles, it's got titanium hardware, and it's got LC200N stainless steel, which doesn't rust. So none of those things rust. And it just makes for an amazing knife. It's also shaped kind of like a santoku, a kitchen knife. And when I first got it, I used it to cut onions all the time. And now it's just retired to my pocket. But it works great for any sort of kitchen prep, which sounds is crazy. Cool. Food prep with a pocket knife, I know. But if you need to, it's great. Right. The next one is the Yojimbo 2, the Spyderco Yojimbo 2, which is a Michael Janich design. Michael Janich is a knife combatives guy, a very famous knife combatives guy. And he designed this little 3-inch worn cliffy blade to be, I guess, reminiscent of a Japanese kiridashi. Yojimbo means bodyguard in Japanese. So this thing is intended for self-defense, but it makes, with the straight edge and the reasonable size, it makes for an incredible utility knife. I've used I used my first Yojimbo 2 with the standard S30V steel as a mat knife when I was doing a project that required a lot of cutting out of papers and cardboards and foam core. And it worked great, even though it was designed to, disembowel. So this is a great knife. It also has Spyderco's compression lock, which is a great and fun lock. It's great because it's very strong, and it's fun because it's got major fidget factor. You can flip it and drop it, flip it, open it up with the lock. You can do all sorts of stuff. It's major fidget factor. So I love the Yojimbo too. And I recently got the 20 CV steel and carbon fiber version, so it kicks ass. All right, next we have the Zero Tolerance 0452 CF, big knife. Carbon fiber handle and titanium, and it's got the S35VN steel, and this is another Sinkovich design. $240. It is a beautiful knife for anyone on your list who likes big knives. Another big knife, which is also in this category that's gotten a lot of press this year, is the Benchmade Crooked River. And this knife, the one that I got in particular, was great in terms of QC. It's got great action, and it's turning into a classic for me. It's like my modern Buck 110, except it's a Benchmade. And then last in this category is, it's kind of a wild card. If your spouse, significant other, better half, what have you, loves karambits, I have to recommend the Emerson Combat Karambit and also the Super Karambit. They are just built stout as hell, like an Emerson. And Ernie Emerson, who designs and makes them, is a karambit specialist. He's a blades combative specialist. So a lot of personal preference went into designing this, and it shines through when you hold it. It is amazing. So that Emerson Combat Karambit, you get that and you got skin in the game.
All right. And I think I heard you start to say which one was your favorite, but which of those five is the Knife Junkie's personal favorite?
Jim, I got to go with the ZT0452CF. It's just, it's Dmitry Sinkovich. I love it. It's graceful, beautiful. I just love the design. It's got awesome action too. And this will do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got me. I thought you might have been going with the Spyderco Spidey Chef when you first started talking about it, but then you kind of fooled me.
Yeah, I almost did, but then I realized which one have I put more time in with, and it's definitely been the ZT. Mm. So I'm an open book, Jim.
I got you. All right. Final category on our knife giving guide is $250 and beyond, and this is what you're calling marriage material. Yes, yes. So let's hear about
if she gets
these.
This for you, just put a ring on her finger, because it'll only get better.
Right. This, maybe I have to drop in that Beyonce song, put a ring on her.
Yes, because I'm so hip. So the first one, the Riat K2. Riat was what I'm carrying in my pocket today. The Riat K2 is this beautiful tanto, and it's $325. I got the bronze handle with this sort of reptilian pattern on it. And to me, this is the smoothest knife I have in my entire collection. Riat is an incredible manufacturer. Again, they're Chinese. And so, you know, there are a number of Chinese companies that are just killing it. And to me, Riat is chief among all of them. And this K2 is one of my favorite knives for its absolute smoothness and its beautifully ground tanto blade. Next is the Hinderer XM18. They're in their sixth generation of this knife, and it has turned into, from an amazing knife into an even better one with this tri-way pivot. You have the choice now when you buy an XM18 for the same price as when I bought it, and you didn't get this, $425. You get the option for three different pivots. They send you the Nylatron pivots, they send you phosphor bronze washers, and they send you ball bearing pivots. So you can go with three different action types. You can change it out whenever you want. It's an incredibly stout knife. I used mine recently when I was tearing up a whole bunch of carpet, and it is indeed a hard use knife. Just make sure you keep it sharp, and it is amazing, good to go knife. The next one is kind of its big brother, the XM24. That knife is $595. It's a little ridiculous, and it's kind of huge and a bit heavy, but probably my favorite all-time knife. And I prefer the one with the Wharncliffe blade. Mine has this amazing working finish, it's called. And I don't know. When you get to the point where you're willing to pay $600 for a pocket knife, you've reached a level of subjectivity that can't quite be explained, I think. Right. The next one is the Microtech SOCOM Elite, which is, my God, it's the most beautiful tactical looking knife out there, I think. And I have one before the redesign this year. It's got the old hardware on it that you need the special tool for. But this is one of the best looking tanto blades I've ever seen in my life. You got this aluminum handle. It's a thumb stud operated, but one of the earliest thumb stud operated ball bearing pivot knives that I know of. And it's my go to car trip knife because it's got a glass breaker on it. And finally, the uber vaunted Chris Reeve knife, Sebenza 21, or any Chris Reeve knife. But I have the Sebenza 21 with the black micarta handles. And I just had to buy it eventually. I traded off a bunch of knives to buy it because I had to see if the hype was real. And it is. It is an amazingly constructed, designed, and considered knife. And if you buy this for your significant other, I mean, you are truly a rock star. So those are my recommendations. They're all knives that I own, all knives that I've used and vouch for, and you can't go wrong with any of them. Now, the knife world is a very, very huge world. There's so many knives out there. These are not the only ones, but these are what I recommend this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think if I heard you say, what was it, the XM24? Was that the model?
Uh-huh.
You said that was your all-time favorite knife. So I'm assuming that's your favorite in this $250 and beyond category.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But it's definitely not for everyone. I mean, it's over a half inch thick. It's probably about 7 ounces. It's a big damn knife, but man, it is cool. I saw one reviewer call it a man's knife.
Right. And he said it that way, I'm sure.
He did.
All right. Well, very cool. A lot of great knives and our knife giving guide. And of course, we're doing that because it is the time of the year to be thinking about the knives that you want to give as gifts or receive as gifts. If you've got a favorite knife that you would like to receive or maybe hear your spouse or significant other so that they can hear what you want, call the listener line and let us know what you're hoping to receive this holiday season, 724-466-4487, 724-466-4487. Stay tuned. Coming up, we're going to talk about knife laws in the state of Virginia.
No analysis, no advice, no lawyers, just knife laws and all the ridiculousness. Here's this week's knife laws.
So I will be reading section 18.2-308. of the Virginia Commonwealth Code, carrying concealed weapons, exceptions, penalty. If any person carries about his person, hidden from common observation, 1, any pistol, revolver, or other weapon designed or intended to propel a missile of any kind by action of explosion or any combustible material, 2, any dirk, bowie knife, switchblade knife, ballistic knife, machete, razor, slingshot, spring stick, metal nux, or blackjack, 3. Any flailing instrument consisting of two or more rigid parts connected in such a manner as to allow them to swing freely, which may be known as nunchucka, nunchuck, nunchaku, shuriken, or fighting chain. 4. Any disc of whatever configuration having at least two points or pointed blades which is designed to be thrown or propelled and which may be known as a throwing star or oriental dart. Or 5. Any weapon of like kind as those enumerated in this subsection, he is guilty of a class 1 misdemeanor. A second violation of this section or conviction under this section, subsequent to any conviction under any subsequent similar ordinance of any county, city, or town shall be punishable as a class 6 felon. For purposes of this section, a weapon shall be deemed to be hidden from common observation when it is observable but is of such deceptive appearance as to disguise the weapon's true nature.
That's it for this week's episode of Knife Laws. And now back to the Knife Junkie podcast.
All right, Jim. So you heard a lot of different definitions here. They're really in this little subsection 18.2-308, really saying you can't carry anything unless it's real out in the open, especially a dirk, a Bowie knife. A dirk, I mean, that's a large naval knife. I mean, who carries a dirk anymore?
I know I don't.
A ballistic knife. I mean, I haven't seen one of those since Commando. You know, the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
Machete, razor, slingshot, spring stick, or knuckles. I mean, that's covering a wide variety of weapons. So I am not a lawyer or giving any legal advice, but I have to say when I got curious and dug in again to this, to the knife laws, I was really surprised. I have a buddy who's a cop right in our county, and I asked him and he looked up the law and told me something entirely different from what this is saying.
Oh, interesting.
So I really do recommend just crack open the law books in your state and take a look at the subsections involving concealed weapons and weapons that you're allowed to own, especially knives. Right. And you might be shocked.
Well, and again, you know, we're not bringing these up to give advice, tell you what you should do, tell you what you shouldn't do. As the intro says, just kind of let the knife laws stand on their own ridiculosity or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it just knowing the law adds to your situational awareness, and that's always important.
Ever start looking for your next knife purchase before your last purchase has even arrived? Then you're probably a knife junkie.
All right. We're back on the Knife Junkie podcast. Jim and Bob here with you. And Bob, just a information-packed episode this time. A lot of good content, a lot of great knowledge with not only the tip of the week about Kydex sheaths, but also the concealed carry laws in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And this will be a semi-regular feature on the podcast where we'll take a look at different laws in different states. Again, not to give advice, but just so that you are aware and can make your own determinations. But again, a lot of great info I found in the Knife Giving Guide.
Yeah, well, Jim, a couple of things with the knife laws. I think it's important to remember one thing: how often are you getting in trouble with cops, and then go from there. Then you can judge what your decision is going to be about what you carry, what you
own. If you're getting in trouble every week, maybe you should make a change.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. And if not, you probably don't have much to worry about.
All right.
Anyway, that's where I'll leave that.
Final thoughts. Anything significant about the knife giving guide or thoughts about holidays and knives and giving or receiving knives as gifts?
Yeah. My 4 stages of knife giving proves that you can spend $30 and get an amazing knife for someone on your list. So you do not have to spend the $300 to be marriage material. Right. You can buy a Kershaw Atmos, and that shows a lot of thought that went into that for that knife lover.
Well, and it's and great broad guidance there with your different categories, $40 and under, kind of the 40 to 120, 120 to 240, 250 and beyond, kind of a good price
there,
categories,
Jim.
Price breaks there for folks to consider as they're looking at knives. And again, want to make a point. These are not every knife in those category. It's just ones that you personally own, personally use, and personally recommend. So great gift options there for folks. All right, we're wrapping up the Knife Junkie podcast, episode number 7. A lot of information here from the carry conceal Virginia law that we just discussed to the tip of the week at the beginning of the show where we talked about making your own Kydex sheaths, as well as a great bit of knowledge on the knife giving guide with knives that you can give or receive in several different categories. So, Bob, final show wrap up, kind of think about what you want our listeners to take away from the knife giving guide or anything in this episode of the Knife Junkie podcast.
Well, I just want people to remember that knife gift giving is a scalable thing. In other words, I joked in the beginning, I said that it depends on how much you love them.
Right.
You'll get them an expensive knife. That's not the case. You can find a really great knife for $30. I've shown that today. Just give it a little bit of thought, do a little bit of research, take my word for it, or look at other videos online. But you can get a great knife for $30 or $300. Right. So check it out and you know, put a little thought into it and make that knife lover in your life happy.
Right. Well, and if you are looking for a knife for the holidays, go to amazon.thenifejunkie.com. That's amazon.thenifejunkie.com. And you can call our listener line at 724-466-4487. Let us know what knife you're hoping to receive or what knife you're going to be giving as a holiday gift this year. That's the listener line at 724-466-4487. Bob, final thought.
I just might add that I have videos on many of these knives, and those that don't have videos are probably getting videos in the offing. So if you need a little bit more information on them, go check out thenifejunkie.com/YouTube and look up any of these knives, and you might see a video on
Absolutely. It. Stay tuned. It's coming to a website and YouTube channel near you soon.
That's right.
Thanks for listening, everybody, to the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, thenifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on thenifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at thenifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@thenifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487. And you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.